thank you, as usual, to B'nai Torah for hosting. It's been a fun weekend at B'nai Torah, and it's drier today, so I'm happy. It's much more comfortable giving shir when my socks are not soaking. Okay. So, continuing on the theme of Kibbud Af Ha'Em, in honor of, make sure my phone doesn't go off, in honor of Mother's Day, though it is also Lag BaOmer, right? Tertina tried to put the themes together. We weren't sure how that would happen, so we just said, stop being too creative, let's just call it what it is. I want to focus really on one small passage, one line really, in the Gemara, and I want to try to really understand it, I want to flesh it out, I want to see what's behind it. And what I want to do is I want to understand the different facets, the different levels to Kibbud Af Ha'Em, and specifically Kibbud Aim, that the Gemara records. So let's start with the two psukim, the two verses in the Torah that describe our obligations towards our parents. So the first one, in Shmot, in Parakhaf, in the context of Yeseret HaDibrot, and right, it's the first 10 things, well, not first 10, but one of the 10 things that God tells us when he introduces himself to the Jewish people, and he said, Kaved et avicha ve'et imecha, honor your father and your mother, leman yarichun yamecha al adama asher adonai elohecha noten lach, so that you live long in the land that God has given you. The second time in Vayikra Yutet, in Parsha Kedoshim, the Torah tells us, ish imo v'aviv tira'u, a person shall fear his mother and his father, v'chaptotai tishmoru ani Hashem elokichem, and you'll keep my Sabbaths, I am Hashem your God. So those are two versions of the obligations that we have towards our parents. Just looking at those two verses, what's different about the way the obligations are described towards one's parents in source 1 and source 2? Right, what's the obligation in source 1?
Opposite order,
for one thing. So one is that it's opposite order, right? In number 1, it puts father before mother. In number 2, it puts mother before father. Okay, what else is different? Right, one connects it to Shabbat, and one of them, it comes with a promise of longevity. What else? What verb is used? Kavod and Yirah. Right, in the first one it says honor, the second one says fear, reverence. What else? Anything else? I'm out, but there may be others. That's what I have. Okay. So, let's start with point 1 and 3 that was made here, right? Different verbs and different orders. Right? So if I asked you, okay, what is kavod? How would you translate kavod, or how would you describe the relationship of kavod with your parents? Respect. What does respect mean? What emotions are entailed? Listening. So the Gemara will call that yirah, right? Right. But we'll try to get at why, right? Why is not sitting in your parents' seat yirah, right? Because yirah is fear, right? So what types of things? Fear we tend to think of as negatives, right? Don't do things would anger or would minimize the distance you're supposed to have, right? Reverence, honor, reverence, really, awe, right? You're at this level, or filial piety means that there's a certain level you respect, your parents are at a higher level than you, right? They're an authority figure, so you don't impose on their authority, right? That's yirah. Kavod is more respect. Respect is, whatever it is, right? Maybe listening to them, that might also be yirah. What the Gemara describes is, giving them food to eat, right? Escorting them in and out, right? Things that are, honor. What emotions would you put behind it, right? If kavod describes, aiding your parents, helping your parents, making them feel comfortable, and yirah means showing deference, so then what emotions would you put behind those, right? What emotion drives reverence? Fear, right? I would say fear, right? A certain level of fear, fear like in the scared sense, maybe even in the scared sense sometimes, but, reverence is somewhere in between, but yeah, it's, yeah, right? Awe, it's There's something, yeah, distance, right? There's a level of distance. That's what it's telling you, right? That there's, it's the, you're specifically focusing on the lack of closeness, right? That there can't, there's a certain level of intimacy that can't quite be breached because there's distance. So what about kavod? What emotion might be behind kavod?
Love.
Love, right? I would have said if you're looking for an emotion, I would say love. So now let's come back to your point, right? The order switches, right? If you had to guess, right, if I had to guess, who would go first in kavod and who would go first in yirah? Who would you say you respect and who would you say you fear?
So,
right? And what does the Torah do? It switches it, right? The Torah tells you that fear your mother and respect your father, right? 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 And it seems like more natural the other way around, right? So we're not the first people to pick up on this. That's what the Talmud picks up on. So you look at number three. The Talmud, well, you know, before we look at the Talmud, let's see what you would think. So what would you say? Why would the Torah flip it?
Because it's exactly the opposite. Because it's not your natural instinct to fear your mother. So they're telling you that you should do that.
Exactly. And that's what the Talmud says. The Talmud says, Tanya, Rebbe Omer, Galui V'yadua, it is known, Lifnei Misha Amar V'haya Olam, before he who created the world, Sheben Mechabed Enimo Yoter Me'aviv, that a son naturally respects his mother more than his father. Vimnesha Mishaldo Bidvarim, right? Because she encourages him, right? She persuades him. She's the good cop, right? So Lefira Hiktima Kadosh Baruch Hu Kibud Av Lekibud Ein. So we switched it and say that relationship you would naturally have with your mother, also have it with your father. V'adulef Nimisha Amar V'haya Olam. Shaben mityare mi'aviv yoter mi'imo, mibnei shem lamdo Torah. And people know that the Torah knew that people fear their father more than their mother because he teaches Torah, or he disciplines, right? So, l'fichach hektim ha-kadosh baruch hu mora ha'em l'morav. So we flipped it, right? It's pushing against what we naturally would do. It's telling you don't just respect your mother and fear your father. Fear and respect your mother, fear and respect your father. Meaning, to an extent, both of those relate. What is this ringing? No, it's fine. Okay, it's nothing, not like an emergency. It's just, okay, fine. Okay, honor and respect your mother and honor and respect your father. Both, right? Don't just feed in to what's emotionally natural, right? There's an element of mitzvah here. There's an element of command. Okay. So there's an excellent book. By Rabbi Dr. Yehuda Brandes. He's a fascinating thinker, and he writes a book, two volumes, called Agadah L'Maaseh. It's a pun, right? We talk often about halacha l'maaseh, right? Practical halacha, and then there's agadah, right? The stories, but you don't think of stories in Tanakh as practical, right? They give us ideas, they give us values, but they're not practical. But he wrote two volumes called Agadah L'Maaseh. The thesis of his books is that no less than the halacha is lema'aseh, agadah is lema'aseh. Halacha lema'aseh. Law tells you what to do in easily quantifiable situations. But then there are whole swaths of religious and human experience that aren't reducible to law. So when the Gemara wants to tell you how do you act in those areas of religious and human experience, they don't just give you law, they give you stories. Because stories can illustrate the complexity of human experience in a way that halacha cannot. Right? And he goes through many different areas in Talmud which focus on different relationships like that. Among them, many mitzvot ben adam l'chaveiro, right? Human-based mitzvot. So he has a whole chapter on kibud av v'aim. And he says, okay, let's take this small passage, right? We already noted, like, this is one of, sometimes, and you don't understand where the Talmud is coming from, but sometimes, you know, if you just paid attention to those two verses, we all caught, right, the differences between the verses, how it was sort of unnatural, it just jumps out at you. So he said, okay, what was the assumption of the question, right? I mean, or what was our assumption? Why did we think that kibud aim should go before kibud av, and yirad ha'av should go before yirad ha'aim? Why did we think that was true? Right? Why would we think naturally you should respect your mother more than your father and you would fear your father more than our mother? What were we thinking? It's a good thought, right? Why were we thinking? Why did the Torah have to teach us it's not the case? So let's start. What did we all assume? Right, what was... Yeah.
The mother's the nurturing, encouraging, more softer person, and the father was in charge of discipline.
Right. So that's what we assume, but there's more than that, right? There's an unstated assumption, right? What's the unstated assumption? Right, yes, the mother's more nurturing, the father's more the disciplinarian, but what's the stated assumption? The unstated assumption, rather?
This is how we are.
And therefore, it's not just how we are, there's one more little jump. One more jump, a little bit more. That's not just how we are, that's how we...
function.
It's how we function. One more, right? In philosophy, we call this the naturalistic fallacy. We're all doing it intuitively. We go from what is to what should be, right? I mean, what did we all assume? That because the kavod relationship, the emotions that drive respect are more natural to the mother, then we should treat our mothers with more kavod. And because yirah is more natural to the father, so we should treat the father with more yirah. Our assumption is that kibud av va'em is an expression of our natural relationship with our parents. But then what is the Torah telling you by flipping it? If the reason we assume it should be that way is because that's what's natural, what must the Torah be telling you? The kibud av va'em and yirah av va'em are not... not just natural, right? I think that would be the key word. Not just natural, right? Exactly, right? Only. I think that's the key, right? We all, yeah.
I think what they're saying is that you have to respect and fear both of them.
Exactly, right? It's not just natural. I mean, kibud av va'em, you might have thought that kibud av va'em is just concretizing into law that which we do naturally. And the Torah is telling you, no. Kibud av va'em and yirah av va'em, I didn't necessarily have to tell you you have to respect your mother and you have to fear your father. But the fact that I tell you you got to fear your mother and respect your father tells you that kibud av va'em isn't just concretizing what's natural, it's telling you to go beyond. That there's a level more to kibud av va'em, which is important. Why? So as he said, because it's all very nice. If you have a great relationship with your parents and a natural relationship with your parents, so kibud av va'em and yirah av va'em are all fine and good. But as we all know, right, many people, and if it doesn't apply to you, it applies to someone you know, have at different stages in their life tense relationships with their parents. And if kibud av va'em was only natural, so then once relationships get tense, once it gets hard to have a relationship with your parents, so then it would disappear. So the Torah tells you, no, it's not just natural. And therefore, Yehuda Brandes said, we all jumped and said, okay, kibud is love and yirah is fear. But no, it's not. If kibud av va'em were about love and fear, it may be that that's the end goal, is to reinforce our natural emotions. But kibud av va'em and yirah av va'em aren't about emotion. They're about obligations. They tell you that even when it isn't natural, even when it's hard, even when it's difficult, you have to honor your parents. So how do you illustrate that? By flipping it. By flipping it. By saying the relationship you naturally have with your mother, you should have with your father. Right? Because, you know, what if someone has a very understanding mother, she was always the good cop, right? And then, you know, let's finish my thought. And then, so it's very natural as she gets older, you help her. Your father was always the disciplinarian. He's still a bit, you know, tough, you know. So it's a bit hard, you know. He's a bit demanding. But the Torah tells you no. Right? And you know what? The same is the opposite, right? Your mother, you might be used to her being nice and not demanding. But then, you know, maybe she gets demanding. Maybe she has some things. She puts her foot down. And you might say, well, that's not natural with my relationship. No, well, it doesn't matter. Right? Both of them are true about both parents. Yes.
Afraid of Hashem because he can zap you, he can, you know, especially if you like
we're mechala of Shabbos or kosher, and you're terrified of them, but it's not that natural to love them.
Yeah, and I think that's true, right? I think that's true, right? That the Torah does this a lot, right? That love of God isn't just an emotional love, right? And it's not necessarily natural, but the Torah is always telling you to go beyond what's natural. So the Torah goes out of its way to flip it, because we all jumped to love and fear, but the Gemara never mentions emotion. Kibbut Av Aim isn't about emotion. You can have, for sure you can have both.
Some mothers are very dominant.
For sure, right? This is just the normal, right? But it can be the other way. For sure it can be the other way. Okay. Now, there's even more to unpack here, though, right? It's one line, but there's so much to unpack in this one line in the Gemara. So let's keep pushing. Rabbi Dr. Brandis also points out that this is one of the first pieces in Talmud that we often teach kids, because we tend to think, Kibbut Av Aim, like, what do we think about? We think about kids, right? Respecting their parents. If you follow the order of the Talmud, or you follow the stories itself, the opposite is true, right? What is kibud? The Gemara says, what is kibud? Right? Kibud is helping your parents eat, helping them drink, escorting them in, escorting them out, right? When does that happen? When they're older than you, right? When, you know, your parents are getting older, it's hard for them to go around, they might not be able to drive anymore. A kibud av aim is the paradigmatic cases of kibud av aim in the Gemara are the unnatural ones, right? Parents, little kids respecting their parents is the natural one, relatively, right? People have a lot of trouble as they get older and they're balancing being parents of their own children but starting to take care of their parents. That's unnatural. That's who Kibbut Av Aim is primarily about. It's not about your little kids listening to what you have to say. The classic cases of Kibbut Av Aim are the unnatural ones, are the ones that are much harder to fulfill, because Kibbut Av Aim is not just about what's natural. The Torah is telling you, push. Push when it's hard. It's about obligation. And where does that come from? Where does that notion come from, that it's about obligation more than just about concretizing your natural relationship? So here, let's pick up on just one little phrase that I don't even remember who said it, right? One of the other differences is, in the case of Yir'ah, we compare it to what? What other command do we wrap up in it? Someone said it, I don't remember. Shabbos, right? We compare it to God, right? Honor your parents, keep Shabbos, I am God. And the Talmud picks up on this, that there's an element of fear of heaven that is wrapped up in it, right? If you look at number 5, Tanu Rabbanan, Ne'emar kabeded avicha ve'imecha, ve'ne'emar kabeded Hashem mehoncha. It says honor your parents, but it says honor God from your wealth. Hishva hakatuv kivud avaim lekivud hamakom. The Torah equated the honor of parents with the honor of God. Ne'emar ish imo v'aviv tirao. It says fear your parents. Ve'ne'emar Hashem elokecha tirao. It says fear God, v'oto ta'avod, and serve Him. Hishva hakatuv morat av v'aim lemorat hamakom. It says fear your parents and fear God. Ne'emar mekalel aviv imo motumad. Ve'ne'emar ish ki kalel elokav v'nasa cheto. And it's the same thing in terms of cursing. Hishva hakatuv birkat av v'aim lebirkat hamakom. There's a special prohibition to hit your parents that obviously doesn't apply to God, right? Because you can't hit God. Fine. And the Gemara says, why? V'chein bedin, this is logical. Sheshloshtan shutvin bo. Because your parents and God are the three partners who created you. Tanu Rabbanan. Shlosha shutvin hein v'adam. There are three partners in the creation of man. HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'aviv imo. God, the father and mother. Bizman sh'adam mechabedet aviv et imo. If you honor your parents, amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu ma'ale ani aleihem ki'ilu darti b'nehem v'chibduni. God says it as if you honored me. And Tanya Rebbe Omer galui v'adu alef nemisha marva haya ve'olam. And then our passage comes up, right? So Dr. Brandis says, wait a second. Why was the lead up to that statement of the flip, right? Why did we flip honor? Why was the lead up, that emphasis, that kibud av aim is just like kibud v'yira of God, that fear and awe of God, to explain why the Torah has the right, or has the ability, or what the context is for the Torah to tell you to go against what's natural? Because if you mistakenly thought that Kibbutz Av Ve'Em was just an expression of our natural emotional relationships with our parents, so then yes, when the emotional relationship is difficult to maintain, so then Kibbutz Av Ve'Em goes out the window. But if it's not primarily a function of our human relationships, but it's a function of God, well, our relationship with God doesn't change no matter how hard things are. And that gives context to Kibbutz Av Ve'Em. The reason you honor your parents is not just because you love them, but because they're your creators. And therefore, you have to show them Kavod and Yira. It's great if that brings emotional love along with it. But even if it doesn't, even if it's hard, your parents are elderly, and maybe they're going senile, as many of the cases in the Gemara discuss. They don't even recognize you anymore. It's hard. Taking care of them is hard. It's not natural anymore. They don't even know who you are. But you know what? It doesn't matter. Because Kibbutz Av Ve'Em is derived from Kavod and Yira of God. It's not just emotions. The Torah isn't coming to tell you, do what's natural. You don't need the Torah to tell you, do what's natural. You need the Torah to tell you that doing what's natural isn't enough. So the Torah does everything in its power to flip your assumptions, to tell you don't reduce Kibbutz Av Ve'Em to mere love. It might be also love, but it's not mere love, it's responsibility. It's responsibility towards your creators, to those who brought you into this world. And that provides the context for the flip of Yira and Kavod, of honor and fear, that the Gemara notes in the Psukim for father and mother. So what does that teach us? So, as you look at number 6, the Rambam summarizes it. Right? If you curse or blaspheme your parents, it carries with it the capital punishment. Hiktim av v'aim l'kavod ha-makom v'hiktiv aim la'av l'mora l'lamet sh'nesheim shavim ben mora l'ben kavod. And we flip Yiran Kavod to tell you that the relationship you have with your parents are equivalent. Not the emotional relationship you have with your parents are equivalent. The obligatory relationship you have with your parents is equivalent. Meaning you can't suffice. If your mother is sweet, right, and it's easy to take care of her, but you don't feel like you need to listen to what she says because she's not going to yell at you if you don't, doesn't matter. You have to listen to her just like you would to your father. And if your father isn't that sweet, he's a disciplinarian, but he needs tender love and care now, so then you got to give it, even if it's a bit difficult, even if he's a bit gruff. And the same thing is true if it's flipped. This is just, you know, majority. But even if it's flipped, it doesn't matter. The point is, it's not about emotion. And that's why the relationships are equivalent. Okay. Last point, though. So far I've explained, I think, what the Gemara is noting in the Psukim. The Torah is militating against our assumption that Kibbutz Av Ve'Em is just about love. It's just about what's natural. It's just about that relationship we have or wish we had, right, with our parents, right? It's about recognizing you have responsibilities. There's responsibility of filial piety, whether or not it's natural. Okay. But let's go back for a moment. Despite all of that, the Gemara describes what is a natural relationship. Right? The Gemara is not telling you that relationship isn't natural, that it isn't natural to have a certain type of relationship with most mothers and a certain type of relationship with most fathers. It's recognizing that. It's just saying that's not relevant for Kibbutz Av Ve'Em. But is there import to that natural relationship? Right? Meaning so far we've said it's not, right, Kibbutz Av Ve'Em isn't reducible to the natural relationship. But what exactly is that natural relationship? So we talked about it, right? Most people's mothers are softer than their fathers are disciplinarian. Great. But is there more to that natural relationship? Does the Torah play on that? Is that also part of the relationship you're supposed to have? It's not enough, but is it also integral? So here, Rabbi Soloveitchik in number 7 has a beautiful piece. His son's, his daughter's husband's mother. What is that? His mechutanim, right? Mechutanim, right? Were the Tolner Rebbe and Rebbetzin, right? The Twerskis. So when the Tolner Rebbetzin passed away, he gave a eulogy. And in that eulogy, he wanted to describe what type of person she was. So right, Soloveitchik didn't just describe what type of person someone was. They talked about ideals, right? They said, she wasn't just a great person. She was an idealized person. Let me explain to you why. So he says as follows. People are mistaken in thinking, this is number 7, that there is only one Misorah and one Misorah community. The community of the fathers. People think, right, who do you think of when you think the Shalshalat HaMisorah, the chain of tradition? Who do you think of? Right, if you do the great people in history theory of history, right, you think of men, right, rabbis, right, even in the modern Orthodox community, like, you know, they came out with what's essentially a modern Orthodox Gedolim book last year, right, I forget what they called it, Great Personalities, whatever, it was a chavrusa of mine. It has Nechama Leibovich, and otherwise it has men, because, you know, even the modern Orthodox community, like, you know, we can't think of who are those, you know, even though we endorse it, we encourage it, okay, maybe now it's a little bit easier, okay, we can talk, I don't know, we can talk Rabbanit Henkin, we could put other names in the fine. And people think that's the Shalshalat HaMisorah. So no, it's not. There are two chains of tradition. What is it? It's not true. We have two Masorot, two traditions, two communities, two Shalshalot HaKabbalah. The Misora community of the fathers and that of the mothers. And he says, I'll prove it to you. The Torah says, thus shall thou say to the house of Jacob, which Chazal understand is the women, and tell the children of Israel, the men. And hear, my son, the instruction of thy father, Musar Avicha, and Valtitosh Tarari Mecha, forsake not the teaching of the mother. The Psukim, whenever they talk about the tradition, say it in couplets, in doubles. Right? Your father, your mother. Said, well, what are those two traditions? I know what the tradition of the father is, right? I go to the Beis Medrash, I get it. What is it? Okay, it's Torah, we got it. Right, and then, right, Council of the Old King. What is the difference between the two Masorot traditions? What is the distinction between Musar Avicha and Torah Imecha? So let us explore what one learns from the father and what one learns from the mother. Now again, I'll remind you that as we saw before, the Torah does everything in its power to tell you that this is just stereotypes. This is just the majority. If it's flipped, it doesn't matter. Right? This is not all men and this is not all women. Right? But still, there's a rove. There's a majority that goes in this direction. If this doesn't describe you or describe your parents, that's fine. Right? But what is it? The Torah speaks on generality. So what is the generality? It says, one learns much from father. How to read a text, the Bible, the Talmud, how to comprehend, how to analyze, how to conceptualize, how to classify, how to infer, how to apply, etc. One also learns from father what to do, what not to do, what's morally right, what's morally wrong. Father teaches the son the discipline of thought as well as the discipline of action. Father's tradition is an intellectual, moral one. That is why it is identified with Musar, which is a biblical term for discipline. But what is Torah Imecha? And in the continuation of the piece, right, I didn't put here... No, I did actually. I did put it. Right? He talks about his own mother, right? What he's really doing is, right, he's eulogizing the Talmud Rebbetzin by talking about his own mother. Okay, and then he talks about the Talmud Rebbetzin. What is Torah Imecha? What kind of Torah does the mother pass on? Permit me to draw upon my own experiences. I used to watch her, meaning my mother, arranging the house in honor of a holiday. I used to see her recite prayers. I used to watch her recite the Sidra every Friday night, and I still remember the nostalgic tune. I learned from her very much. Most of all, I learned that Judaism expresses itself not only in formal compliance with the law, but also in a living experience. She taught me that there's a flavor, a scent, a warmth to the mitzvot. I learned from her the most important thing in life, to feel the presence of the Almighty and the gentle pressure of His hand resting upon my frail shoulders. Without her teachings, which quite often were transmitted to me in silence, I would have grown up a soulless being, dry and insensitive. The laws of Shabbat, for instance, were passed on to me by my father. They are part of Musar Avicha. The Shabbat as a living entity, as a queen, was revealed to me by my mother. It's part of Torah Imecha. The fathers knew much about Shabbat. The mothers lived the Shabbat, experienced her presence, and perceived her beauty and splendor. The fathers taught generations how to observe the Shabbat. Mother taught generations how to greet the Shabbat and how to enjoy her 24-hour presence. And what Rabbi Soloveitchik says is that natural relationship isn't, it may not be, Kibbutz Av Ha'Im is reducible to it, but it's still so vital to what it means to be a religious Jew. There are two components to what it means to keep the Torah. There is law. There are rules. There's discipline. There's doctrine. But there's also experience and love and warmth that's supposed to imbue those laws. And usually, that's Torati Mecha. Al Titosh Torati Mecha is don't forget the warmth, don't forget the beauty, don't forget the embracing presence of Shabbos. Don't forget the warm embrace of God. So the Torah didn't tell you to forget about that. That's part of tradition. That's part of what it means to pass on the Torah to the next generation. Kibbutz Av Ha'Im may not be reducible to it, but that natural relationship is not thrown away. It's essential. It's so much a part of what it means to be a Jew, to be a human being. And I think that's really what the Torah is getting at, and the Gemara is getting at with Kibbutz Av Ha'Im. Kibbutz Av Ha'Im functions at two planes. There's the natural relationship, which isn't just the natural relationship. I have a certain type of relationship with my father. I have a certain type of relationship with my mother. And maybe it's flipped. Is that there's that to be a full human being is to meld and to bring together discipline and rules with passion and warmth. And those are provided by our parents, by different role models in different ways. Usually, and for Rabbi Soloveitchik, his mother was the one who provided the warmth, his father is the one who provided the discipline. I assume for many of you that's true, and for many of you that's what you tried to pass on to your children. For some of you, it's the opposite, and that's okay. But the Torah recognizes that there's at level one, there's a value to differentiation in how we pass on our values, because it's only by marrying those two together that we get the fullness of human experience and of religious experience. That's level one. That galui v'adul lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that normally this is a relationship that people have with their mothers, and that's Torat Imecha. And normally this is the relationship people have with their fathers, and that's Torat Avicha. But God still flips it, because it doesn't end there. It's not reducible to that. If that's not the relationship you have with your parents, either because your parents are flipped, and your father is soft, and your mother is more the disciplinarian, which, in my case, that's the truth with my parents. Everyone knows every simcha, right? My mother has to get up and speak when my father starts crying, right? That's just the relationship we have, right? It's just the way it is. If it's flipped, so it's flipped. But the fact that there are two types of relationships is critical to our emotional experience. That's level one. But level two is, even if it's flipped, or even if worse than that, it's not just flip, that's not a big deal. Okay, so you have an opposite relationship and you have a good relationship, fine. Even if it's negative, even if it's hard, even if your parents are elderly, and at this point that you don't feel the warmth, right? I remember my grandmother had Alzheimer's by the end. She didn't know who I was, she didn't know who my parents were, right? It's hard. Kibbutz Av Ha'Im doesn't end there. The Torah tells you not only do you value the natural relationship, not only is that integral to who we are, but Kibbutz Av Ha'Im demands more. It reminds us that our relationship with our parents is also connected to our relationship with God, and therefore even when it doesn't make sense anymore, and even when the emotions cease to be enough to drive us, Kibbutz Av Ha'Im tells us go beyond what's natural. Remember that there's a level of commitment, responsibility, a level of kavod shamayim, that God is telling you your parents aren't just those who raised you and those who love you, they're those who created you, and just like you don't question, and even when it's hard, you serve God, so even when it's hard, you take care of your parents. And that's how the Torah, in just flipping that word once, gets across. That at once, you don't deny the human relationships that you have. You celebrate them, you embrace them, they're part of who we are, but never let that stop there. The Torah doesn't need to come and tell us, to emphasize, to do what's natural. What it's telling us is that build on what's natural and be able to embrace the fact that the Torah demands even that which is beyond our emotions, beyond which is human. And when we can do both of those things, then we'll both have the love for our parents, but also recognize that the relationship we have with our parents is also a function of the fact that shlosha shutvin hein ba'adam, there are three creators that you have, and you owe it to your parents just like you do to God to maintain that relationship even when it ceases to be the natural thing to do. So with that, happy Mother's Day. And next one, just a reminder again, it was, what did we say, June 11th. Okay.